and welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we, the people. It is Saturday, March 9th, 2019. We're in hour one of the broadcast. I've got a special guest for you today. I'm joined by Dennis Fecho. He is the host of Inside the Eye. The website is InsideTheEyeLive.com. Dennis, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, good morning. That's a little bit high energy for me, man. Wow, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're already that high energy?
I've been doing it this way for a long time. I don't know any other way to do it. I guess, you know, looking at the United States, this country in which I was born and raised, raising two children, looking at the future they have by these tyrannical super cucks that are running our country into the ground and the rest of the world, for that matter. Well, it just gets me a little bit upset, Dennis.
A little bit upset and fired up.
Well, let's start with this. Now, I've got a little bit. Well, let me read your intro. I've got a little intro here I wanted to read for everyone, because I know there's listeners to this show that after my show go over and listen to Dennis, but there may be a lot that don't. So let's give you just a little.
Can I clarify that a little bit before you start?
Yes, sir.
I heard that they are listening to your show and then they jump to my show just as soon as I start.
I think that's true. I think that is true. Inside the Eye Live is a leading podcast online radio production of Dennis Fecho, a.k.a. The Fetch. The Fetch is the author of the Illuminatus Observer, regarded as many as simply the finest hermetic Kabbalah blog in all of blogdom. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit. I did not know that, Dennis, so I was learning as well. The Fetch brings weekly insights into geopolitics, Zionism, conspiracy history, finance, Middle East politics, and news and views that shed light on our contemporary reality. Inside the Eye Live streams at Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we've got a little tradition here I've had for about 10 years. I've put this question to a lot of different people. Tex Mars, Alex Jones, just recently Patrick Little, David Duke. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I find out sometimes it's the best question of the whole broadcast. What in your life, Fetch, led you into this role of activism, so to speak? What woke you up?
I think I've been awoke since high school, you know, back in the 70s, to be honest with you. I had a great teacher that woke me up, was kind of like doing things way back then. Not so much the activism we have today, but then I got into, as you mentioned earlier, this Illuminatus Observer, basically breaking down the mathematical structure of the English language, which made me a semi-internet celebrity. And it introduced me to the world of trolls, harassment by certain ethnic groups out there, and the sheer audacity that someone would harass me for just putting information out there really brought me to the fore of wanting to say, screw you guys, I'm not going silent. In fact, I'm going to double down, triple down, quadruple down. And that's what brought me into this thing, was just really getting harassed to the point to where they were trying to silence me. And I don't like what I consider, not bragging guys, but a superior intellect, to be trodden over by these beasts of the field, basically, that have no brains and think that they should be running basically our societies, our lives, and our culture for us. And so that is what has brought me to the fore, really, of being active in communicating ideas to people, really, of the European diaspora and beyond.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, let's start right there. And I know an hour flies by so fast, and I wanted to skip around on a bunch of various topics, because there's some topics that sometimes I get to listen to your broadcast, sometimes I don't, and according to my work schedule. And there's some topics that you've probably touched on many times, but I've just not heard you maybe discuss them. So I wanted to skip around a little bit, but I wanted to start right there, because both you and I discuss some of the same topics weekly, and that is Jewish control in Europe and America, control of the media, and of course we see what's unfolding in across Europe and here in America. I mean, right now I've got the story from RT, Birmingham, which is in Great Britain, telling parents protesting the LGBT lessons to stop helping extremists. The story over there is the Muslims that they've imported into London don't like the homosexual agenda that's in the public schools, and they're actually standing up. As crazy as it sounds, they're standing up against the homosexual agenda that the public school system is ramming down everyone's throats there and here as well. And also, there's a story out of the Daily Mail. This is coming from Britain as well. School pupils are learning how to treat stab wounds amid a surge of violence in Britain. So I just wanted to start right there. When you look at what's happening in America, when you look at what's happening across Europe behind this mass immigration into Germany, France, Sweden, and Britain, I just wanted to get your assessment of how we are being demographically destroyed. We're actually being destroyed without a shot being fired, except for the random Ali Akbar shootings. Usually it's stabbings, maybe some acid to the face. The cultural vibrancy that everyone now is supposed to just willy-nilly accept here in this country and all the European countries. I wanted to give you a chance just to give your opinion on that. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, we've all talked about the Kalergi plan. This is going back to 1926. You have most of your European leadership is essentially part of this Kalergi movement. They do believe in essentially destroying European civilization, European culture, by flooding it with subpar intellect, breeding out Western civilization. That is an actual a targeted plan. You've had Sarkozy of France, before he was taken out of the presidency, even talk about it. You know, we need to force this miscegenation upon the European people by force, if necessary. So this is something that's been going on for now almost 100 years. When you look back to it, really, its genesis in 1926. So this is a massive campaign. We've fought multiple wars, of course, on the continent. We are, you know, we've gone from 33% of global population as European, Caucasians, whites, if you will, down to 8%, 9% of human population. And females now make only about 2% of the global population. Childbearing females are only about 2%. So when people want to talk about minorities, 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 well, there's nothing more on a planetary scale than actually white people right now. It is actually a global minority. And when you only have 2% of your female population of childbearing age, that's about as close to extinction as possible where I come from. And so, yeah, it is a coordinated campaign. There's a lot of consternation about it, even here in the Islamic world. As some of the listeners know, I live here in Riyadh and in Amman, Jordan. I've been in the Middle East for over 10 years. And they're very up and wise on this Jewish agenda. It's part of their eschatology being the end of times, their beliefs of end of times. And they all believe that the West will succumb to Jewish power, that Jews are the Antichrist, basically. And they're, you know, these Mohammedan religions all share the same core features. So they actually believe that Jews themselves are the Antichrist race. They are the ones that are mesmerizing and taking over everything. And so here in the Middle East, it's not a secret. They would, quite frankly, the educated people of the Middle East, and you guys who are not involved in the culture as much as I am, you may not see that, but trust me, they're there. A lot of them are American educated. They're very pro-American, and they're appalled by what's happening to America in the West. They're even afraid to go to Paris. They don't want to go to Paris anymore. They don't want to go to London anymore, quite frankly. They don't want to go to a lot of these. And they're saying, look, Dennis, the problem with the West right now is your leadership, because it is our leadership, keeps bringing in this subpar Islamic element that wouldn't even be accepted here. In other words, they just wouldn't be accepted, guys. You know, so in many ways is what happened in Syria. People need to wake up to the fact that the garbage is being dumped on the West. And the good people, they don't need to move. They got a nice job. They got families. They're growing their kids. They got a great culture. They're able to live their lives nicely. Only those that are not able to really integrate it into their own countries are the ones who are being shipped off to basically be taken care of by the West, but also to subjugate the West to this, really, this one world order, Jewish world order type of domination scheme we have going on.
You know, it's amazing, Dennis. I talk to people all the time, people that, you know, they watch Fox News. They think they know what's going on. And, of course, the news media in America never discusses the reality of the mass immigration into the European countries. We just had, you probably seen this, you're probably going to discuss it today, but, you know, this past week, Ilhan Omar, one of our newest members of Congress, openly criticizing AIPAC and the dual citizenship of many. I've not been able to get an accurate count on this current Congress, but before it was around 80 dual citizens in the Congress and the Senate.
94 now. So I'm covering this one. A little bit of research is already.
That, I'm glad you shared that number. So it's actually, you know, it's going up. But of course, here, what does our Congress do? They've got a rush. I think they passed it yesterday. Condemnation of all anti-Semitism. And it's amazing to me. I mean, this is actually, you know, unveiling it once again to all the American people to see who actually runs the show. But people seem, they seem to have difficulty connecting the dots. But the power is on display here in America for anyone to see who really controls the levers of power and who it is that you you are not allowed to criticize.
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. But here's what everyone needs to understand. Ilhan Omar is really, she's a refugee, everybody. She speaks well. She's a refugee. Essentially, she does not represent American values in any form or fashion. Yet, as someone so succinctly put it, and actually is very clever, says Ilhan Omar is an immigrant who is doing the job that Americans just don't want to do, and that is calling out the Jewish power in America. So here we have to rely on an immigrant to do a job, because everybody else out there is just afraid to do it. You're afraid to go out and start to really talk about this issue. Why? You know what? When I go into Farron, when I go into airports in the Middle East, you know, you can walk into all these various bookstores and you can't read anything because it's in Arabic, but I can read a little bit and I can see Stars of David's. And there are conspiracy, quote unquote, conspiracy books all over the place here. Everybody's educated on it. But here in America, everyone acts like you're it's such a timid mentality. What are you timid for? It's your country. Get out there and start working. Look, it's a power situation. If you can outshout them, then you're going to outshout them and you're going to win. If you continue to let this left-wing nutcase Jewish narrative outshout you, then guess what? You're going to be outshouted and you're going to lose. It's really come down to a rhetorical battle now. And that's why, Farron, they are silencing shows on YouTube and Twitter and taking people off of Twitter. And I know Facebook during the election took down some 2 billion conservative pages. That's why they're shutting it down, because they do not want to be outshouted. Look, we have everything going for us as far as the right. You know, that we have truth, we have fairness, we have ethics, we have morality, we have everything that is going for us in the right way of things. But we're just not getting the message out. And that's now we're relying on a foreigner, an immigrant, to do the job Americans should be doing. Where are you, Americans? Start speaking up. Why are you relying on a Somalian immigrant to do your job? You should all be talking about AIPAC. Everybody's shouting down public media right now, Jewish media, whatever you want to call it. You know, I got a segment on Hannity coming up in my show. It's like, dude. You're basically trying to make us white guys here care 1 ounce for Israel. What do we care about Israel? Seriously. What? And I know in your part of the world, you got a lot of Christian Zionists. I get that. But hey, you know what? Are you winning with them? No, you're not.
Well, you know, it's amazing. If you're going to play the clip, I think maybe you are. I listened to Sean Hannity. I think it was either Thursday or Friday, just the beginning of his show. And he was practically frothing at the mouth over, they're not doing enough against anti-Semitism. And, he is an Israeli firster all the way. I mean, Rush Limbaugh's not even to the extent of Sean Hannity.
No, this Israel first agenda in the media should be so transparent now. And it really draws major attention to the tasks ahead. One is we need to break up the media, just like you needed to break up AT&T back in the 1980s. We need to break up that media. We do not need 94% of our media in the hands of companies that essentially have their headquarters in Tel Aviv. That makes it not our media. That makes it Jewish Tel Aviv media. We are not, as Americans, Israelis. With all due respect, we are, for the vast majority of us, for the vast majority of our history, from the European diaspora. Now, I can go into my old hometown of Los Angeles and be hanging out with the Chinese and the Koreans. They don't really care about it. It's not their fight at the end of the day. It isn't their fight. This fight has been going on between Western civilization and the Jewish diaspora equally for millennia. Millennia, and they have been kicked out from country to country to country to country to country and principality, etc. And they know this, and so they are trying to put the mechanisms in place once and for all to solve the Jewish question, which is, what do we do with our Jews? That was always the question debated in the 1880s, even up into 1910, 1930s. The answer to that is, Jews are saying, the answer is, we will destroy the white race once and for all. That's the answer to the Jewish question from the Jewish side of things. And people need to wake up to this reality, because that is the absolute truth of what is happening to Europeans and Americans today.
You know, you mentioned the internet censorship. I mean, it's gotten so bad now that you can't even post to Facebook anything that's contrary to the government's narrative about how great vaccines are. And TV in America, about every third commercial is about, don't be a shot dodger and get your vaccines. And it's amazing, though, Dennis, as you well know, that propaganda resonates in the people. They will practically fight here to go get a flu shot, and they have now where you can get the extra flu shot. You can get like a double flu shot if you want to, and the people march down there and get it. I wanted to ask you that, because your perspective on this will be interesting to me. Now television is constantly promoting transgenderism. I mean, that you would think that the population of America was like 33% transgender. So every news story, all sitcoms now, if it's not, you know, race mixing, it's constant browbeating about transgenderism. The Olympics just ruled that men that pretend they're women can compete as women. I wondered if this promotion of homosexuality and transgenderism is being glorified and justified in the rest of the nations from your perspective. No. The break might get you. If it does, we'll talk about it on the other side. But go ahead, sir.
But here, no way. Transgenderism would be beat to a pulp. And quite frankly, I can't blame them.
What's your opinion in the European countries? Same as America?
It is being, European, absolutely, it's being promoted. Absolutely. I mean, come on. You had the Eurovision Award was won by a transgender. Some freak dresses as a woman with a pretty hefty dark beard. Yeah, of course it's being promoted. It's basically promoted wherever you have Jews. Okay, that's where it's being promoted. In Jewish-dominated societies, Jews are rolling this out. It's part of their agenda to destroy the morality of our countries. Basically, Jews seem to want to turn our civilizations and our societies into ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they don't have any morality. They don't have any ethics, full of debauchery. To me, literally, by not fighting back, you're basically saying that you want to turn your nations into Sodom and Gomorrah. And everybody knows eventually what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was wiped out because these types of civilizations cannot be sustained.
Well, you know, in America, white people can't organize in any way, shape, or form. Everyone's a protected class practically, except white, Caucasian, Christian, heterosexuals. We're coming up on that break. We'll be back in moments. You're listening to The Alternative Media with Farron, joined by Dennis Mecho, inside the live, insidetheilive.com. Back in a moment. We're back on The Alternative Media. Farron in the studio. Joined by Dennis, insidetheilive.com is the website. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. on Revolution Radio at Freedom Slips. .com and
we changed the actual domain. Wherever you got that, I got to update my information also. It's now revolution.radio. It's revolution radio at revolution.radio. Freedom Slips is not the main domain anymore. It was changed. I got to update my records.
Okay, Revolution Radio at dot radio.
Revolution Radio at revolution.radio.
At Revolution. Okay, cool. Yeah, I copied that off your website. We will we'll update that right here, because I want people to be able to find your website and your broadcast this Saturday's 10 a.m. Eastern. 2 hours, is that right, Dennis?
Three, man. Come
Three
on.
3 hours, okay. Come on.
We're the big dog. You're in the radio business. You know the 3 hour shows. Those are the professional shows. You know that. Come on. You've been doing this a long time.
Well, to get us back going again, I wanted to get your opinion on the Yellow Vest protest. It's been, I think, it were something like 20 weeks running. Mainstream media here in America carried the story, I think, on week one and has had no coverage whatsoever. I've looked into it. We've seen it's bleeding over into Germany a bit. Your opinion or assessment of the Yellow Vest protest happening in France?
Well, it's still going, apparently. There's been a lot of complaints about... from the protesters about mainstream media and the main digital archiving like Google for not carrying it, for not allowing the stories to get out. It's really hard, to be honest, to get information about it, because even here in the Middle East, I have censorship. So if I go to certain websites, I just can't get it. So there's more censorship here in America than, let's say, Jordan when I'm in Amman. So I can't sometimes get a lot of information. A lot of websites are actually down. I have to, like, finagle my network connections to try to get it, and I'm kind of lazy to do that, so I just kind of move along. But it's a legitimate protest. I mean, the French people are upset. I don't know if you saw the picture of Macron the other day when he was out inspecting his troop. What an imperialistic, an imperialistic, arrogant, little snot-nosed punk. I swear, he's out there like got that stern face on looking at his stormtroopers. And I'm like, you know, but the French people, to their credit, I don't think they're going to go away on this. And they got to figure out a way to win over more and more police, quite frankly, and keep it moving. But my hat's off to them. You know, they're the only Western nation right now that is in open revolt against this system that is in place, really, to suppress all of us. And so my hat's off to them.
Well, you know, it is the rise of nationalism. Some websites have carried some live streams of what's going on there in the on the weekends. These are weekend protests. And it's amazing to contrast how this is news. If you're watching the world news on NBC with Lester Holt, this is actually world news. But they will totally disregard any reporting on this type of events. And, you know, they will fill their airtime with something like the Kardashians here in America, or some other super filth like that. That's actually meaningless news.
Or they'll, you know, they'll play up the Maduro situation in Venezuela. When really here in our own homelands with our own people who are rising up and are suffering at the hands of a extremely tyrannical government, including the police forces, the probability that the French government has brought in foreign policing elements, in other words, they're not even French, that are doing the shooting in many cases, or in some cases that has to certainly be factored in. So, yeah, you would think our media would be covering these stories. There's so many long ties to the French and the American people. Obviously, if you look at the Statue of Liberty, that is a gift from the French people back in the day. So I agree. I mean, here we only get whatever, I guess, this controlled media wants to give us. And that's why people like you and I are out there, Farron, because people are tired of following the mainstream media. They got to get information, so they come to people like us.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the mainstream media, you would think that the people would be intelligent enough to see through this. They actually portray the government of the United States as like Hoss Cartwright with a big white hat on. And we care so much. We're such great humanitarians. We care so much that we've got to go over and fight in Syria because Assad is gassing his own people. They get the people here to believe these hoaxes. And we care so much that if Assad's gassing his own people, we'll teach him a lesson by going over and killing some of his own people ourselves. And I wonder in Venezuela if this is the scenario they're going to bring about for some type of intervention, and then use that as the justification for some mass migration invasion.
Well, I suspect that is part of the game, to be honest with you. I think they've already started to prepare some refugee centers down in Florida for this eventuality.
Yes, yes.
We just had a day or 2 days ago, maybe it was last night, there was an attack really on the main power grid, which is the dam which controls most of the electricity inside of that country. It was attacked, and essentially it put nearly the entire nation into a blackout.
All right, we're coming up on a break. We'll have a long segment on the other side. Dennis, you're listening to The Alternative Media, and joined by Dennis Fecho, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Back in a moment. You know, Dennis, the story that you were talking about before we went to break is I was just looking at RT.com during the break about the power outage in Venezuela. It goes on to say that Marco Rubio, shortly after the attack, tweeted some information that specific information that he would not have been aware of unless he knew about this soon to happen. So it is interesting because I think that may well be the, and like you said, I've read some of those stories too. They're talking about making certain cities in Florida or the state of Florida a sanctuary state for refugees from Venezuela. So with that said, before we run out of time, I wanted to give you a moment, if you would like to, and just tell us just a little bit about your book, Luminous Observer. Yeah.
Not a book, it should be. People keep stealing my stuff and writing books that way, using it. But what it is, it was a blog I set up back in 2007. And what happened back in 1996, I've always been involved in the, not to say the capitalistic, but just call it the occult world, back in the New Age stuff of the 1980s, you know, growing up in the 70s. So and I've always had a fascination with our language. I think we've got a beautiful, fascinating language, meaning the English language. So back in the 1990s, mid-1990s, I started to study the language a bit more seriously, you know, how the letters work. And I would go down to the LA Library, Public Library, which has got a huge repository of books. You know, it's one of the biggest public libraries in America. Very Masonic influenced. I am not an anti-Mason from the traditionalist view like many are, but I know a lot of people are. I think there's a lot of good done by people working in that segment for the people, in other words. And we can't deny the history of the link with them, in other words, equally. So anyways, I was involved in a lot of this. And yeah, a lot of this ancient Masonic work out there, basically about the language. So I started to piece all this work together and study the language. And if you're familiar with some of the hidden books of the Bible, you know, there's, I forget the names of them, Proto-Evangelion or something like that. It talks about Jesus growing up as a child, and it's part of the missing books or the lost books of the Bible. And it talks about how Jesus was brought to this rabbi to describe the letters, and Jesus tells him, first, tell me the meaning of A, and then tell me the meaning of B, you know, and then you can start to talk to me about the letters. And basically, the letters are considered, in the occult schools, the most difficult thing to penetrate, because they are the very symbols upon which we build our language. And of course, without the language, we're not going to be able to build our societies, our cultures, everything. So everything for, you know, when you look at the rabbinical Kabbalahs, especially if you go into the Lurianic Kabbalah, and of course, guys, all of this has to deal with the struggle we're in today equally, because a lot of these people that are involved at this higher level of power structures are using a very dark, deep, dark, hidden Kabbalah that is not generally released to the public. So when you get into the child sacrifice, you get into the abuse of children, the, you know, all of this sick stuff that you see going on in there, it has its roots in the deep dark side of what we call operational Kabbalah, which is also used partially within the, from what I understand, to be legally correct here, the OTO schools, the Ordis Templar Orientalis, which is then the Crowleyan system. So you look at Crowleyan, you see the Crowleyan influence in music. They're kind of like two systems based on the same concept, because not just because they're basically using the one is like for the goys, you know, OTO is for the goys, and then the Jews have their own hidden Kabbalah, so they are working with transdimensional things, transdimensional entities, demons, if you wish, and there is a very deep dark secret going on here on this planet. So my idea was to take the English language, break it down from a Kabbalistic perspective, and essentially see how we could make it in such a way that it counters Jewish Kabbalistic influence. And that was the main motivation, was how do I, and I learned this trick from an old Taoist guy. He was a grandmaster of what's called Dong Han. And Dong Han is it's a Taoist school. And basically the way they do their healing is they know that arthritis, for instance, has a certain energetical value. What they do is they create mirrors in the opposite of that value. And so basically when you inject this energy, which is to eat it, it cancels out the original energy that is causing the problem, and then your body starts to heal. So my whole point to doing the Illuminatus Observer was to start to create within the ether, which is human consciousness, this idea of using our language as a positive to counter this negative Jewish influence. And that's what why I put it out there. So just to give you kind of an example, our system is based on duality, meaning our Western systems. We believe in male and we believe in female. That's an example of duality. We believe in night. We believe in day. That's a duality. We believe in life and we believe in death. That's a duality. So when we put all of this together, we cannot deny the duality. Plus, we have to see where the duality exists. Now, what's interesting about English and how Shakespeare and the Rosicrucians and some of these other sects put the language together is they were embedding very pro-life formula into the language. And the way they did that, of course, was the very symbols themselves. So the symbols, meaning the letters, have archetypal values behind them. And it's kind of like for the tarot readers out there, if you read the tarot cards, you would see like this card means this. Well, that same holds true, Farron, with the letters. They all have particular values and meanings. So if I take the letter O, it's the egg, it's the female, and I take the letter P, well, it's the penis, and I put O plus P together, and I get the letter Q, which is a fertilized egg, which then goes into the B, which is a profile of a pregnant woman, and that then gets shifted over to R, which then becomes the B and the R the same, and this is birth, bred, bring, brought, etc. And we start to show the pro-life value of our language and inject more sanity into it and start to revere that which brings us life, which you could call then providence. Providence is just provide, right? You can't take the provide out of providence. So the whole purpose to all of this originally was to put together a comprehensive system based on English that would counter, again, these Jewish negative spells. When I started to put this out, it gained pretty well, almost immediate it resonated. Put it that way. At one time, it was in the top 50 of all spiritual podcasts, for instance, on Podbean. And it was there until I shut that account down back in 2012. It resulted in massive amounts of trolling. I mean, massive, not small, massive, all the way into my personal life. And I tracked it back down to essentially a group of Jewish people, or at least they were Philo-Jewish, Philo-Semites, who are now some of them working for the Daily Stormer, by the way, for those of you out there. And that, of course, that shut that whole operation down. I just got trolled so bad and so distracted, I ended up shutting that whole operation down. And then I went into the audio. And that became what is called Inside the Eye Live, because the original podcast, which is called the Podcast Companion to the Illuminatus Observer, was called Inside the Eye. You know, like the eye of the pyramid. So when I went live, I said, well, I've got this kind of successful franchise already. Let's just call it Inside the Eye Live, because it's not going to be a recorded podcast anymore. And then we ran with it. And then the rest is history. We've kind of blown it out and grown from there.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I guess I could consider myself a shade tree, occultic researcher. I've looked into a lot of, you know, H.P. Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, Book of the Law, Magic and Theory and Practice, read Alice Bailey, Albert Pike, Emerald Tablet of Thoth, you know, looked into how sigil magic and the Kabbalah, you're talking about the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, the Sephiroth. We could do, I would like to listen to more of that because very few people discuss that aspect of the power that's generated in this world and how it is wielded. So, but for the sake of time, we've only got 18 minutes left. There's several things, and at the end, I wanted to give you an opportunity to discuss anything that you might would like to bring up. But a lot of us listening to this broadcast, you know, we voted for Donald Trump because we wanted to end the wars, we wanted to secure the border. There's a lot of various opinions on, you know, was this a setup from the beginning? I mean, I've got the story right here. Immigration is set to triple the Obama figures, I think, is the headline. I'm not looking at it, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of tell us what your views is on Donald Trump. Is he legitimate? Is he bought and paid for? Is he a puppet? Where do you think this thing's going to go?
Well, I personally feel, and again, I'm not an insider, so you can't say, oh, he's an insider, he's a shill. No, a shill is someone who's an insider and then just lies anyways. I'm not an insider, guys. I'm just an observer like everybody else. I'm not my view of him was that he was legitimate. Now, a lot of people say you're naive. No, I don't think so. I think he was actually legitimate. But I believe as time has gone on, I think that they have got, personally, I think they got something on him that is exceedingly damaging. And so therefore, he's essentially done. I think he's through as far as being able to help. He was there not necessarily to, for us who are nationalists, he was only there to buy us time anyways. And basically, he's bought us about 2 years of time. I think from here, we're going to see everything start to, I personally think, I hope I'm wrong, and I would love to see him prove me wrong, but I think it's going to be downhill from there, from here. I think we're going to be downhill to 2020. I'm not sure, quite frankly, he's going to be able to recover and even do 2020 at the rate he's going. I mean, his calls on immigration are, they sound atrocious. Now, let's be honest. Let's be sincerely honest here. He has massive opposition against him, but I think combine that with having some really, really nasty dirt on him, he's gone. I think he's finished.
You know, I tend to agree with that assessment. I mean, some of the things he's done, and who he surrounded himself with, for one, yeah. Makes no sense.
Farron, his advisor is his daughter. Give us a break, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, and Jared Kushner.
Like me, I love my son. I have a lot of admiration for all he's accomplished and all of that fun stuff. And I admire what he's done, and he's done a great job. But dude, I'm not going to bring him as my advisor. Not my advisor, quite frankly. No, I'm his advisor. You know what I mean? You know, he asked me for advice. I'm not going to bring in somebody like this as an advisor. And then he brings in the head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which has been against him the entire time, even before he ran for president. And he's got the advice. Those are his two economic advisors now.
Yeah, and his daughter had to have the silver spoon surgically removed at birth. You know, what does she really know about the real world or geopolitics, you know?
Yes.
Well, I had a couple of questions that's come in from listeners. And one, last week I had Richard Gage on, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, 3,000 now engineers and architects that say buildings don't fall like they did on 9/11. I've got a listener that wanted to know your opinion on what happened on 9/11, maybe who was behind it, and how that was obviously used to justify with war with whomever the U.S. government chooses and take our rights away here at home. So your opinion on 9/11?
I mean, my opinions on that go all the way back to about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after the event. It was clearly an inside job. There were clearly explosions. Explosions clearly brought it down. The Israelis are the primary people behind it. Combine that with some of these, like OTOs, people within the Bush crime family, the Cheneys, the Dick Cheneys of the world, they're behind this. So it was really basically the Israelis and this CIA criminal syndicate that we have. And of course, it was shared with the Defense Department, quite frankly. I mean, we are just so infiltrated. The only reason we haven't been able to put a stop to it is because these people who pulled it off control virtually every single, and really do control every single lever of power. And where people bring out evidence, they have the power to eliminate those people. And that's called assassinations, suicides, you know, things of this nature. So fairness, clearly an inside job is done by the Israelis.
What's the opinion there of like the normal people in Jordan or Saudi Arabia? Do they know that this was an inside job? Do they believe the official narrative? I mean, what's the consensus?
You know, back in the day, I mean, it's not an issue that's really here. It's not an issue for the people here. It's not their history. But I recall back in the day, 2004, 2005, when it was still fresh and we had troops running all over Iraq. I talked to people ahead of the Mukhabarat, which is their intelligence services. Not there's many different branches, and I talked to one of them and some of their people. And when I told them, I said, no, it's an inside job, they were actually shocked. They believed the media. They actually did believe the media. And then when I told them 1, 2, 3, 4, because that's where they're getting their facts from, the media. It's okay, that's all they know. But when I started to say it, they said, wow. They just kind of like their jaws drops, and you are the most refreshing American we've ever met, because we've never had Americans come here and talk like you. Normally they're just regular, you know, no, I don't know how to describe them. Nonetheless, for the most part, a lot of people don't buy the official story, but it's not a concern of theirs for the most part, to be honest.
One other question from a listener, your opinion on Alexander Dugin.
Tough to read this guy. I'm not so studying on him anymore. Of course, he's into the Eurasian integration issue. I'm not sold on him entirely. I do know that a lot of people within the alt-right tend to feed into this Duganist line. I'm reserving judgment because I'm not studied enough to really comment on it. Not that I don't have... I'm leery of what's going on with the Duganists. But again, I'm not studied enough to be commenting.
One other question from a listener. How serious of attacks have you come under for spreading the truth?
Oh, you know, in the initial days, it was massive, guys. You have no idea. Stressful. But this was back over a decade ago. It's cut down really since about 2013, when I started Inside the Eye Live, after I started the radio show. However, I'm still banned. You know, TalkStream Live, I used to be number 1, 2, 3 on TalkStream Live back in the Oracle broadcasting days. It was Jews. I saw the emails. Okay, guys, I'm not making this up. Jews did complain and got me taken off TalkStream. I got put up again. Again, Jews, because I got the emails, guys. It was leaked to me. Did complain, and I got taken down again. So I still am, I believe... Oh, I don't know what you call it there, Farron, but I'm throttled, put it that way. I'm throttled. My numbers, if I were allowed to get out, I believe would be better, because I think it's a good product. I think I put out a pretty good product now, and always have, quite honestly. But the main attacks are just coming from just being throttled. On a personal level, none over the last 5, 7 years. I don't get it. I'm a difficult guy to attack. Ever since somebody tried something called the Tuscan Tussle. It was like a viral thing that went out. I generated income over $1,500 in donations off of that darn thing. I need another one. But basically, I think after that, it became pretty well knowledge. Don't, you know, Fetch isn't an easy target. So they kind of leave me alone, to be honest.
Well, we've got about 7 minutes left. I wanted to give you an opportunity, just anything you would like to say, any contact information, any topic you'd like to cover, the floor is yours.
Well, you know, it's funny about RBN. Let's talk about RBN. How's that? Because you're over at RBN. And RBN and Oracle Broadcasting, going back into the history, Farron, Oracle Broadcasting and RBN were like the two big dogs after Genesis, which is Alex Jones's network. And I remember for years and years and years, I would go to Shoutcast, you know? Shoutcast is a rating agent. I don't even see you guys there anymore. But I would like every week be fighting you guys trying to just beat RBN. I remember those days, just trying to beat RBN. Now, you know, usually we're top 10 Shoutcast every Saturday. So, guys, it's a really good show if you haven't heard it. We have a lot of people that listen to this show here with Farron. It's all the alternative media, right, with Farron?
Yes, sir.
That's the show, right? Yeah, so we have a lot of listeners that share between our two shows. So I know we've got a lot of people listening right now, Fair, and you know that too, right? So we have a lot, but if you haven't checked out Inside the Eye Live, you don't have to break away from Fair, and we do have everything on archives. You can go to InsideTheEyeLive.com. The benefit of the post-show archives is everything is edited out and normalized, and you can really hear you get a great audio file, in other words, from us. And that's kind of the fun side of it, Fair, and just kind of like fighting you guys all these years. Finally, we caught you, by the way. Finally, we caught the RBN guys. But, you know, we've always had great lineups between you and myself on Saturday morning. So it's always been a battle, you know, and the ratings. But nobody pays attention but people like me, I think.
That's interesting. A little bit of history there on RBN. I've been on RBN now for about 7 years, and I really enjoy it. John Statmiller, the staff, Mike's our board op, our engineer today, and I ask everyone, support RBN. I don't ask for any
donations. Guys.
I do this to support the network. Yeah. Well, we got just a few minutes. I wanted to get your opinion. You know, I watched the what was it? The report from Stone Mountain years ago. And I thought when I watched it, I thought, wow, you know, they'll never make the weather the enemy. How would they ever make the weather the enemy? I got the story right here in front of me where the United Nations this past week said if we don't do something about climate change, we've only got about 12 years left. What's your opinion and a little bit of maybe your perspective from where you live? Are people buying into climate change? Your opinion on how radically they're trying to indoctrinate everyone that the weather is the upcoming terrorist.
You know, I was in not a taxi. You know, I take like Uber, but it's called Kareem locally, and I was talking to this guy. He actually sold it. The first guy that tried to sell it, and I said, no, dude, you're crazy. Come on. Let's just leave it, you know. But for the most part, nobody really pays attention. People do notice, quite honestly, that the weather is changing. You know, there is a consensus everywhere that the weather is changing. Now, to equate that to man-made weather changes, that's a separate element about the Middle East, is there's absolutely no chemtrails. They don't happen here. There are not a bunch of planes up there spraying every day. So we don't have it. So obviously it's not in everyone's mind because it's not there like you have in the West. So there's no chemtrails. People do believe that the weather's changing. Like, we've had an exceptionally mild winter, for instance. We've never been into the 30s, quite frankly. Normally, we'll get 10, 12, 20 days down in the 30s. We haven't had a single one this year. So, it's changing. We had a great winter up in Jordan. A lot of rain this year. Everything is so green. It's beautiful up there. But to make it, the only way it's changing by human intervention is the chemtrails. That's where it's changing. Not through global warming. It's being done by weather modification programs.
And you know, my argument here locally is, let's just say if climate change was real, the solution to it of me paying more taxes to the federal government of the United States to supposedly combat it and maybe lessen my carbon footprint is ludicrous. I mean, that they've never fixed anything, you know, so it's another form of enslavement through taxation and making you submit and comply to the boogeyman that they've created. But I'm here to tell you, the people in this country, they buy into it, Dennis. A lot of them buy into it. That's
crazy. And also it's like, you know, don't have any children because you're going to, you know, cause more global warming and a year into Western countries, which is going to do what? Increase your carbon footprint. If you want to cut back on everything, you have to actually cut back on the immigration to start with, because you're going to by default create a ton of extra carbon footprint. They got to move around. They got to eat. They got to do everything. So you're making our countries increase their carbon footprint. So there's no common sense, even honestly, within the current government rulership here. We're ruled by morons, basically. We have morons.
We've got about a minute left. I wanted to take that opportunity, Dennis, to thank you for joining me today. I'd like to have you back on from time to time. Interesting conversation. You really, you really do your homework, and you bring a lot of information and intellect for your audience. So I wanted to thank you again for joining me and give you the last word if there's anything you'd like to say. About a minute left.
Well, guys, it's been a fun week. We had 7 hours of programming this week. We do two shows, Inside the iLive Prime Time, which is broadcast 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on revolution.radio. Always, you can go to InsideTheEyeLive.com for all this information. Then I do a new show called Fetch on Fridays with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. That comes out of the UK. And then 3 hours of Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, over at, again, revolution.radio. And again, we've been doing this since 2011, everybody. So we've been doing a very long time. We've got a very good show. If you haven't heard it before, come check it out, InsideTheEyeLive.com.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You timed that perfect. All right, veteran broadcaster. Thank you so much. I'll be in touch with you. You have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We're coming up on the top of the hour break. Come back. We're going to run down some of the news, take phone calls probably at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Alternative Media with Farron. Back in moments.